Blog Talk Radio.
Nazim Rashid, who's not only our personal development consultant at White Apple Institute, but he's also a music educator. And that was his album, River Nile, available through White Apple Institute, or he'll give you some more information later on how to connect with him directly. We ask that you participate with us this morning on attitude. Having a healthy attitude. School, work. We have Dorothy Rashid to us with a discussion this morning. And she's reading the discussion now. What you listen to there. Come back and ask if we can get this dialogue open. She's all over the world. I'll ask Dorothy to read that for us. So we have the description of the show, Dorothy.
Good morning, listeners. This is Dorothy. What this show is about today has to do with the attitude. What does a healthy attitude look like? Professor Applewhite, the host, and Nazim, the co-host of the Student to Teacher to Student Internet Radio Talk Show, ask our listeners to define what they call a healthy attitude. We encourage listeners to call in, share their views about what a healthy attitude looks like, and listen to the strategies to develop this way of life. It is critical to our attitude about being healthy is accepted in the culture and society we live in. At White Apple Institute, our focus is on setting realistic goals with a healthy attitude that must be maintained for success in the classroom and the workplace. Adult learners diagnosed with a mental and physical disability does not necessarily mean they are unhealthy or do not possess a healthy attitude. More often than we may expect, a person with a disability may lead a very successful life and maintain an even healthier attitude about school, work, and life than those who are not diagnosed with a disability.
Very good point.
The initial screening and assessment at White Apple Institute helps potential students and teachers clarify their purpose, abilities, and goals in a changing world. Teachers, as well as students, deal with burnout issues that negatively affect their health and attitude toward each other and the educational systems they work and learn in. We look forward to more feedback from employers, counselors, parents, and other interested listeners around the United States and abroad to improve our perspective about being prepared for the success in a global economy, diagnosed as disabled or not.
That's right, Dorothy. Very good. Diagnosis, disabled or not. Now, Zane, what about this, whether of this culture? We have to know, understand the healthy attitude with the culture we live in. What does that necessarily mean to you and maybe some of the other listeners out there?
Well, we are brought up, all of us, in certain called standards of normalcy or standards of health. And unfortunately, when we're brought in a dysfunctional society, dysfunctional culture, have dysfunctional standards, then we accept those particular standards, even though they're deleterious, as something that's being normal and healthy for us. And so we have to be real clear as to what we're talking about. So when we're looking at healthy attitudes right now, we're looking at healthy as it's defined by the scientific community. And that's in three areas: that which contributes to life, that which promotes life, and that's what gives birth to life. And so we have to understand that that's what we're talking about. Everything centered around those three areas.
We have two callers online this morning. Let's see what this caller is. Caller from the 623 area. This is Professor Applewhite. Who are you speaking with?
Yes, sir. Okay, we'll continue on then. And so, again, it's very...
Yes. Who is that calling from the 62 area? What is it, 623? Sorry about that. Who's calling? Oh, okay. How about the 2791? Please take it.
Let's see if we can get you on the switchboard here. We certainly want to hear what all of our listeners want to say this morning.
Hello? Okay, I see what. Is the caller on the line? All right, so we'll continue. Are you on the switchboard, Erico? Are you there?
Hello, Nazim?
Yes.
This is Donna and Jerry. We are on the call listening. There's been quite a bit of interruption to how we can hear right this morning.
Okay. Anna, thank you very much. So, do you hear a static, or what do you hear exactly?
I'm sorry?
What do you hear exactly? Do you hear static, or what do you hear exactly? What's happening on your end?
Okay. Now it's starting to be clear. At first, there was difficulty because it was music while Dr. Applewhite was introducing things, and then there were just strange sounds. But now it seems to be much clearer.
Wonderful.
That's right in.
And there's a terrible echo every time the other person speaks. I think it's Danita, but we really can't recognize her voice, Dr. Applewhite. It's a very big echo.
All right. Take care of that problem. How about now? Are we better?
It's still an echo, but try it one more time. Could you say something again to see if the echo is better? Because it was a little better.
Continue speaking. Hello. Yes, okay. Continue speaking. I know you had something to say about the culture, understanding the culture that we live in, Jerry and Donna, because your book, you've been looking at taking the E out of ego, has to take into account the culture. And certainly, we are going to be promoting when Dorothy Nichols Rashid takes over and talks about resources. We're going to be promoting your book signing, which is taking place in Arizona today. But wherever you are around the United States or around the world, we hope to promote your book. Our radio broadcast is global.
Thank you.
That
Thank
makes
you.
Sense. Okay. Well, you're welcome. You certainly deserve it. It's a wonderful book. And I'm going to let Nazim Rashid get into a discussion, or lead our discussion on the culture that we live in and how having a healthy attitude will help us to look at our success in the classroom and in the workforce in hopefully a more positive and optimistic way. Nazim?
Yes, here at Abilene Institute, it's very important that we try to promote life as much as possible. A lot of youth and adults that are considered at-risk learners have been denied certain opportunities because they don't, quote-unquote, fit in. And it's very important that they have a lot to contribute to life themselves. So we have to actually pump them up and let them know that, yes, we want them to have a want them to be contributors to a healthy the health in general out here. And so in order to do this, we have to have ourselves a healthy attitude about their possibilities of making a real positive difference out here. So once we have a healthy attitude about their possibilities and still them a healthy attitude about themselves, what happens is that do you have a positive energy working with itself and thus snowballing to produce nothing but positive results. So that's very important that we all adopt that kind of attitude. And again, we're talking about that which produces life. So we have to always keep in mind when we're thinking or have a certain disposition, is what I'm thinking producing life? Are my thoughts the kind of thoughts that will help life, that contribute to life, that promote life, that gives birth to life? Three areas. You see, and so we got to keep that in mind. If we have a problem in any of those areas, we need to ask ourselves, well, maybe we need to kind of change where we are right now, change our disposition to develop a more healthy attitude than what we have. So those are the criteria.
And, but Nazim, would you let our listeners know what number to call in on so they can join in our discussion about those 3 points you just brought out?
Yes. They can always call at 646-727-3758. Again, at 646-727-3758.
Now, we're having just a few technical difficulties this morning, so if you're trying to get online with us, I see the switchboard lighting up here. Please be patient with us as we continue to move into this wonderful subject about developing a healthy attitude for success in the classroom and the workplace.
Yes. Are there any other callers out there that want to contribute or want to add in, possibly? If not, then we'll continue our discussion then. And
Donna.
Oh, there's Donna. Yes, Donna.
I was wondering if you could repeat the three areas that you are going to address, the three healthy points of view, because with the echo and things, I wasn't able to hear those, Jerry and I, so we'd like to jot them down so that as you continue, we can stay with you.
Sure. Is it better now? Is it better reception now?
It is better, and it helps, of course, when you speak a little bit slower because the echo doesn't seem to affect as much.
Okay. All right. Is there echo present now at all?
No, actually, now it's better. I
wonderful.
Think it's gone.
Okay, there we go.
Now,
all
there
right,
it goes
then.
Again. Comes and goes, and it may be my cell phone, but I do apologize if it's just me.
Okay. Well, I can repeat. That's okay. So here we go. The three areas of what we're talking about that the define healthy attitude. One is that which contributes to life. Two, that which promotes life. That which gives birth to life.
Okay.
Those are the areas right there. So those are criteria that we're using when we're actually talking to our students here and people who want to look at changing their mental disposition, that which helps them out, you know. So we have to keep that in mind. And too many times we have attitudes that we think is okay because of the culture we're brought up in, conditioned in. We wonder why we are not having enough successes and we're having failures in our lives and wonder why they're happening. And the reason is because, you know, if your thoughts are not producing life, that's reducing that other than life. And so, therefore, failure is only
around the corner, right next door to that kind of disposition. So we always have to ask ourselves, you know, are you producing that which you want to have, or are we talking, are we thinking about something that we don't want to have?
Specifically when we're talking about school to work, isn't that right, Stan?
Absolutely, absolutely, sure. And unfortunately, because a lot of us have, especially those who have so-called challenges, physical challenges out here, and mental challenges, that we are, you always hear about these failures, the so-called disability, disability word, and we always get a negative concept about ourselves as being unproductive and a burden to society.
Simple learning disability challenge the way
Absolutely. Absolutely. So therefore, we have to kind of fight against all those conditioning elements that our students have gone through, tell them that there is a way for you to be a positive contributor to life. We have to kind of redo your self-talk, start there. And so therefore, they will be like a salmon going upstream. They will have their own attitude and own motivation that drives them to a goal they want to be instead of what they've been told they cannot do. And that's important.
Exactly.
See? So therefore, this is why we have the constant effort ourselves. We can't assume that we have it together because we're okay for a short period of time. Say, for instance, we have a whole week of being positive, wonderful, sharing, caring, and so forth. And then we figure that we're fine now, so we don't have to be on guard. And next week we have problems, and we ask ourselves, what happened? Well, see, we've got to be on guard all the time. And because, see, you know, we're in a condition, we're in a culture that doesn't feed what I'm talking about right now.
That's right.
So we have to consciously put the positive thoughts in and constantly think the right kind of thoughts and always be around people who are thinking the same kind of way, too, because influence outside of us definitely influences what's happening inside. And so now there's I see on the board we have a 480 call, 480 listener out there. Would like to identify yourself. A 480 listener?
Well, Donna and Jerry are still here, but we're still having a challenge with the echo. So I'm hearing what you're sharing right now is that a person gets involved in being a positive contributor by redoing their own self-talk and getting that helping themselves be a caring and sharing person. And then sometimes when we don't stay on top of that or get back into our old habit, then we wonder what happened. And I definitely agree with that. We've done a lot of workshops and programs on that, helping people to create a new attitude, a new habit, that because it really does take a new habit.
Right, exactly, right. And by the way, Donna, it sounds better to me right now on the phone. Does it sound better to you right now?
Okay, I see. When you speak just the tiniest bit faster, I couldn't understand that. I am so sorry. It's probably our phone.
Does it sound a little better right now than it did a little while ago? Good.
Yeah, but what did you ask? I'm sorry, I missed it.
I was asking how the reception was there because to me the echo kind of diminished a little bit.
It has diminished a little bit, but it does come and go.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Yes, anyway, so I'm sure that you and Jerry have been doing a fantastic work in the same area and trying to get some people to change their attitudes because, after all, if people are used to being in the center of attention, looking at how ego affects us and so forth, and not, you know, wanting to take credit for everything and so forth, and what happens is, don't you think that kind of gets in the way of them having the right kind of attitude necessary for life?
Right, right. Do you sometimes put a pencil and paper by your bed in the morning so that when you wake up, you know, you jot down some inspirations? Do you do that, Nazim, or others there?
Well, actually, I have a tape recorder, and I've actually recorded some things when I first wake up. I've done that several times.
That's a cool idea. I haven't thought of putting my recorder there, but I usually just jot down some notes. And this morning as I was waking up, and I realized that there's, you know, I read it, two things connected. I read an article yesterday, and then I was thinking about people's attitude about our president, and we hear people that our friends are, some of them are Republicans, some of them are Democrats, and some of them are independents, and then some of them don't really care because they don't want to be involved in contention on any way, just want to learn to live in peace. And one thing that came to me this morning that relates to the ego is that I think that the president that we have right now, whichever party he might be in, is demonstrating to a lot of people how, and his wife, how we can bring more of a personality of non-ego into our dealings and into our communications. And so that is one of the things you're talking about here, is being a positive contributor to ourselves and to those around us. And that really does have to leave the larger part of the ego, the big E as we call it, aside.
Yes.
We can really team up and care and receive caring.
You know, very, very good points you're bringing out, both Donna and Jerry Govan and Nazim Rashid. I have to say that when you talk about the attitude that President Obama is trying to raise, he is very specific in certain areas. And of course, in being president, he has to have a wider perspective than we would have at White Apple Institute, where our focus is on dealing specifically with the success at work, at school, and at work. And when we talk about that, it's important for our listeners out there, and we certainly encourage you to call in. We had a little trouble with the switchboard in the beginning of the show. We lost some of your calls. Please feel free to call back in again. But what I was going to say is that this healthy attitude, we have to determine what that looks like for us. And I'd like Nazim and Donna to formulate that idea more about a healthy attitude that we have to have in order to even start preparing to be successful at school and at work as an adult learner.
Well, tell you what, right there, I'll just interject by saying that we have to first ask the students what they want to have happen for them. You start there. What do they want to have happen for them? Yes, I have an example. Say you have a student who wants to get into trade school, a art institute, for instance. They have a gift of being an artist. They might look at doing some graphic design work on a computer later on. Maybe design their own video games, this kind of thing and so forth. So it doesn't matter what age they are. That's just a dream they have for themselves, and they envision themselves doing that. Okay, so they ask them, do you really want to have this, or is this just an idea you're kind of floating by? Do you really want this? And the person at first might say, well, yeah, but I've been told I can't do those kind of things. I've been told I can't do it. I've been told that I'm disabled. I've been told that people like me should not aspire to do those kind of things and so forth. And so I don't know what I'm going to do with it right now. I don't have a good idea and so forth. And maybe I just should, you know, stop being a kind of crazy like I've been told I am and think about something else. Okay, that's where we start right there. So what do we have? So we have an attitude that the person has that's not healthy, and he will never reach his goal or objective with the kind of attitude there, okay, because he's going by what he's been conditioned to say and to think in this particular culture. So we have to ask him, what do you want? Do you really want this? Can you see yourself doing it? And the person answers in the affirmative, then we have to say it to them, okay, now we have to think about those thoughts only, and we cannot think about the thoughts that you've been having all, you know, maybe the whole life, maybe. Now, that's not a very easy thing to do because they've been conditioned, and what they have known has been very familiar. That's why we do a lot of things we do, because they're familiar whether they're good for us or not. They're just familiar. So therefore, we have to give them new habits. New habits. We have to paint the picture for them. So we have to keep them in a positive framework around their particular goals right now. It is that our institute, that's what it is. So we have to take them there, physically take them there, let them see the building, let them see how to get in and out easily with their a challenge they have. Let them see what it smells like to be in a room. Let them see the teachers, the desks, the blackboard, the library, the computers. Let them see how others are doing research in there. Let them see all these different things there so they can see themselves being planted right there themselves. And so when you start seeing a spark in their eyes and they can really see themselves being there, you got to tell them to hold on firmly to those thoughts. Now, this vision now belongs to them. They have to firmly claim that vision and disown anything that goes against that vision. Thus, we have the healthy attitude toward their particular goal right there. And we have to tell them that nothing can come in their way that will cause a disturbance or a problem with their particular objective. So they have to self-guard. They have self-mental guards around themselves. So when the old voices come in, and truly the old voices will come in, we have to tell them that will not happen for them. They have to make sure those voices go away, and we have to make sure they keep only the voices that contribute to their success, not to their detriment. Now, are there other callers out there that can contribute or want to ask questions or comment anything we've been saying so far? Okay, I'll repeat the number. And the number is 64.
This is Jerry. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you very well.
What came for me is often in your changing attitude is what you resist persists. And often it's breaking down the resistance that allows that change of attitude that you're expressing so well. And sometimes it's difficult for individuals to recognize it. And I've always found that if we tell people about it with a loving attitude, that love vibration helps break down the resistance. And
yes, that's very important.
So I remember, and I shared this with Danita, that I sent a squad of men a year or so ago off to Iraq, and I had them, each one, look each other in the eyes, standing in a circle at a wedding reception, and tell each one how they loved him 3 times. And I told them that was part of bringing them back home safely, and that it was to break down any resistance between them. It was a very powerful thing, and they all came home safe, including their whole company, as a matter of fact, not one injury. So it was infectious. So,
wow, wonderful. That's a very good story.
The love vibration is a very, very powerful vibration for all of us, and even with people who have, sometimes people who are disturbed in some form, not with a physical thing, but that know they're loved and accepted regardless helps break down the resistance and then helps change the attitude which you're addressing, which is so important.
You're right about that. And I want to add on to what you're saying of the idea and the importance of consistency. See, now you can show a love vibration to someone for a short spell and think that's all they need to have, and you go away and give them no tools to continue that. But would you agree that consistency and setting a pattern and creating new habits is very important?
Absolutely. Absolutely, because the habit is what does it, because then the resistance doesn't persist when you change the habit.
Mm-hmm. And, Jay, how long do you think it might take to develop a different habit?
Well, the younger the habit is, the resistance is addressed, the easier it is to change it. The older takes longer, but it takes consistency. And so when you're working with someone, if you stay consistent, pretty soon one day it just changes. And sometimes it could be just in a couple of hours. Sometimes the recognition of where the resistance is or where the inner anger is helps. When the person recognizes where that is, they buy into the new habit. And it's all, everyone comes from a different space, but trusting that it works is one of the things that in working with people, whether it's you you're working with or a member of your family or a student, or sometimes we're working on ourselves. And like someone would say, well, so-and-so said this.
Yes.
And I asked them, well, now they said that, and you like it, but have you bought it, and do you own it for yourself? It is now part of you. That happened in classes where people are quoting someone else, and I always want to know, well, have you bought it and owned it for yourself? Because now it's yours.
Right. Right. And Jerry, I want to ask you a question. You mentioned a word that kind of lit a bulb for me, the word trust. Now, don't you think it's important when you're talking to someone trying to get a habit established is that there has to be a high level of trust there. Can you kind of elaborate more on the word trust and how that's important in this whole process?
Oh, absolutely. The one chapter when I was in high school and junior high and where we developed a trust between the students and the faculty and the principal, it changed the whole vibration of the entire campus, because once that trust was there, then people weren't going around in fear of getting thrown out or getting in trouble with their parents because we set real guidelines, and the guidelines build trust.
I see. And what else is necessary to establish trust between people there? What else is necessary there?
Well, I mean, that's right back to boundaries. If you set boundaries, you're setting guidelines. And when you set boundaries and you say the people, and then the honesty becomes easier to appear. And when we're self-honest with each other, the trust magnifies or grows.
Jerry, that is such, I can't even tell you how much I appreciate how you and Nazim are bringing this subject around to us. It seems like every time we're doing a show on Saturday, it leads into us doing a part one and part two. And so this, we're going to have to come back to this again at another time, because there's so much you're sharing about trust, which is another show in itself. Wouldn't you say so, Nazim?
Absolutely. It's major, major. Trust is major.
And you know, when you talk about the factor that because we deal with adult learners, we deal with people who have been worn and torn sometimes by many of the educational and religious systems out there, and they've been through the mill. And they've dropped out, many of them, from school. And they're coming back at sometimes 30-plus or 40-plus years of age, sometimes with the need to start their own business. And they need some prep and support, but they also need to develop that trust that Jerry was talking about a moment ago. And I'd like you to elaborate a little bit further with each other on culture and trust and the healthy attitude that we need to develop for that. Thank you so much. Continue on.
Oh, okay. Come by surprise there. Yes, trust it. Now, I found that when I'm working with, I work with a lot with those in the substance abuse community, and trust is a real, real, real problem there. They distrust everybody. They distrust themselves. They distrust their peers. They distrust authority. And so trust is a big, 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 big factor in that community. And so what I found is that just being a consistent friend, being a consistent help for them and showing them a pattern of health that they haven't seen before, and just doing that for a while so they can see that I am real, I am honest, I'm sincere, I really want them to be better. So I found that they slowly come around that way. But trust is an extreme issue. Every time you get in front of that kind of crowd, they automatically say, okay, here's another con artist, here's another thief, here's someone else who wants to take some from me. You see, instead of giving me something, they want to take something from me. They want to lie to me. They want to tell me they have something and they have nothing. Or they'll promise something and they'll be gone. You see, so that's their attitude immediately when someone, like myself or others, come before them to help them get into a recovery program, get the detox or something like that. So trust is a real major thing there for sure. So consistency, habits, showing that you do have something that's worthwhile for them. You're there for them. And you hear their pain. Now, this goes back to what we talked about empathy before. If they know that you have an honest ear for them and not just looking at them with saying, well, I'm looking at my watch right now and I want to help them get on my next client, but you really have an honest ear for them, they can pour it out. And then they know that you will allow yourself to be led by them so they can describe how they're really feeling. If they can really feel that you're really empathizing like that, then they're going to open up to you and allow the process of healing to begin. And that's very important. See, now, that can be considered an extreme situation, looking at our other at-risk learners out here. But I think that's important to look at that so we can see what we got to do with others. Now, maybe with the drug community, we got to go overboard with empathizing. But in other communities, we still have to learn how to empathize and be there so they can trust. And that's important. Now, I believe on our switchboard, we have another caller. And I think, let's see here, 646, our number is 646-727-3758. 646-727-3758. There's another caller there. 602, number out there, another caller there. Now, I do know some people like to just listen, and that's okay, too. But if you want to contribute, by all means, you can do that. Okay. All right, then tell you what. We'll continue. Now, we have Jerry and Don on the phone, and they have a wonderful book called Take the E Out of Ego. And it's a wonderful way to look at how we can have a pattern of success in our lives without having ourselves out the front, trying to take credit or trying to make sure that we do things where we want to do things instead of looking at our real objective. If our real objective is to make a difference out here, we do that. Make a difference out here. Not, let's see how to get my name on a billboard and so on and so on. So we want to get a change. We want to make a change happen. So I want to make sure that when we look at change happens first within, and we know that we can make changes without. So I would like to ask Jerry just to expound just a little bit about the idea of how to make change happen in that process.
Well, I'm going to start with the first steps are when we communicate with each other and someone, you're like, in a business, often I will call a reference on somebody, and they might not really give me a true, honest answer because they are thinking they are helping the person that I'm asking about, and really they're doing that person a disservice because if they do have a problem that's developed, whether it's something from getting older or whether or not they've had a little health problem, and then I'm not getting a true, self-honest answer, they're doing that person a disservice. And so as you were referring of people stating the issue, often the problem occurs when they don't give you an honest answer about a problem. And I had that with a couple of employees on referral things because
the Wonderful. Talk about employment and school. I love it when you curtail your discussion in that manner. Thank you. Please go on with your example. Listeners, this is very exciting.
I'll give you an example. I had a secretary. I mentioned her in the book. She's the most proficient woman. She was even John Foster Dulles' personal secretary. But her issue was if you put pressure on her, She could screw up something that she could do in 5 minutes. It might take 4 hours if you put any pressure on her. And she wanted to leave me after being with me for 10 years, and she was interviewing with Charles Schwab and for Charles Schwab personally. And he called me, and he said, I feel in your voice you'd love her to have her back tomorrow. I said, absolutely. And then he asked the real question. He says, and what would you tell me about her that I need to know if I choose to hire her? I said, never put pressure on her. And when something, just say, please finish this task first, very calmly. Never say, this is real important, we got to get it done. Don't put any of that kind of energy on it, and you will have the most efficient person in your organization. Well, she was his personal secretary for a year, and from that, she became head of all their national publications and received an early, fully entitled retirement from him when she retired.
Wow. Jerry, that sounds very much like many of the students who have come to us through the years at White Apple Institute that have social phobias. And you'd be surprised how many adult learners are not even aware of their disability issues. And so real important that you continue to talk about the type of stories Nazim has many of them that will help our listeners out there that have any type of disability. You regard it as a minimal thing. You think that it really hinders you being at school at work. Please make sure you call in and contact us. Nazim, I know that within your own work, beyond a youth, which is 17, 18, and we do those at that age, right? We have those that are adults. And I'd like a few examples of how we can develop that more healthier attitude with adults so our listeners can really get a good grasp on what we're talking about this morning.
Well, one thing we have to understand is that we have to have a new kind of thought process within and not just go by the old voice that we have been so familiar of listening. That's real important. And also looking at the idea of disability, I'm going to look at that word. You got D-I-S-A-B-I-L-I-T-Y, disability. Turn that around. You got ability, that's been disappeared. You see? Ability, that's been disappeared. So ability is the bigger word there. So those who have so-called disabilities have ability. They're just gone for a little bit. So we have to bring them back to the surface so they know they can accomplish, they can make changes, and they can create a different kind of, not only a paradigm shift within themselves, but affect others in you know, enormous ways. So that's very important. See, they can be a catalyst for change, because when people see a change in them for the better, they listen at their own self and say, wait a minute, if they can do this, what am I doing complaining and being depressed? So those with the so-called disabilities can be the catalyst of change needed for those who don't have it, supposedly, to make bigger change for themselves. So a lot of times we kind of wonder, why do certain people have certain challenges they have? Why do certain people have the certain kind of failures in life? And an idea that we need to have challenge examples out here to challenge us in what we're doing on the path that we're on. And that's very important. If we didn't have it, the thing about it, suppose everybody looked like you, acted like you, thought like you, ate like you, and had the same kind of pattern and mold as you, okay? What would challenge you to do anything better? More challenge you to break away from the crowd to do better, if that's all you see. So we need to have differences. The differences out here help make us better person. So it's okay. So when those have a certain called disabilities, we look for the abilities in there, magnifying that, you see, and make them an agent for change in the larger picture. That's how we do that, and that's what they're important to do.
Well, I mean, that goes right to the senior citizens as well. Many of them lose their purpose, and they have all these gifts that they've used for their lives, and they're not putting their gifts and talents back to work. And then what happens with that, it's been a serious problem because a lot of them are checking out from the planet when they don't need to. It's just because they've lost that purpose. And so each one of us has a purpose within our ability ranges. And it's once people discover it or someone else who has that ability finds someone to coach, that ability comes to the surface. And that's so important.
Yes. As a matter of fact, even with that, we have to tell people that when you're born, everybody was born, they were given something that the world needs to have. See, everybody
right.
has that from the very beginning. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. We have something to contribute. We have something to contribute. So, therefore, we have to tell folks, you got that already in you. Something is in you that I need to have. Something's in you that the world needs to have. See, something's in you that we can all benefit from. So we have to keep planting those possibility seeds in them. You see, it's very, very important. Matter of fact, I have a phrase I say to myself and others when each new day comes, is looking at the possibilities, probabilities, and promise. Every day represents that. And that's so very important to have. All right, now I'm going to repeat the number of 646-727-3758. And we have about 12 minutes remaining, so I don't want to keep going on. I always like to allow others to have their input.
Let me just say, this is Professor Applewhite, and I just wanted to add into definitely these friends, advisory board members that are on this morning, and hopefully listeners are hearing us. We're talking, and I love what you said, Jerry, about the senior adults. And it's real important that we understand that our radio show, our whole mission with White Apple Institute, is about working with adult learners. And we actually had one of our students who's 60 years old graduate from a community college with a degree. We are right now in communication with a gentleman who's 75 working on his PhD. It's never too late to change your attitude into a healthy attitude so you can succeed in the workplace and succeed in school.
Well, I have to say I ran retirement communities for almost 35 years of my adult life. I built them, and I had a problem adjusting to the men checking out of the planet when I first started and I was young. So I developed a plan to put the men to work, and the wives would come to me and say, I understand you put my husband to work. And I had one place that we had all our own utilities, so that we were in the utility business. And so the men were learning how the utility business worked, from sewer plants to gas distribution to water distribution, the whole thing. And the women would say, well, how much are you paying them? And I would answer them, 10 cents an hour. Do you want them dead or alive? Because they had a new purpose that was keeping them there.
Very good point. Very good point, Jerry. Can you hear me well?
Yes, I hear you fine.
Okay.
That's exactly the kind of discussion we want to have with the people who contact White Apple Institute. And we thank you so much for serving on the advisory board, for writing the book that you've done, Taking the E Out of Ego, for Nazim Rashid, for writing, and I've been going through the pages of his book, connecting with our youth. It's just absolutely fantastic, the kinds of things he talks about. And I'd like you, Nazim, to talk a little bit more about this validation that we need to have to develop a healthy attitude. When do we know that it's truly validated?
Well, that's a very, very good important point right there. Too many times, see, we're trying to change attitudes, we're trying to get folks to recover, we're trying to get people to be motivated to go to school, go to college, start a business. And what happens is that we're talking, and we see that something's not working with them, something's not getting through to them, and we find out that they really haven't been validated. They haven't been validated enough, sometimes not at all. Deep down inside, they feel that they are not enough. They don't have a real good purpose for being here. They don't feel that they are worthy enough as a person. They don't feel that they're okay. And so this is one thing that we always have to do is to tell them, yes, you're okay. Your opinions are okay. I respect your opinion. I respect your perspective. And so, therefore, it's very important that we always make them feel that they're all right. They're all right. You know, I'm telling you, it's so, some instance, we look at suicides out here, they're across the board. It happens with professionals, psychologists, dentists, and a common person on the street. And why? Because something's missing inside. You know, they're listening to the wrong voice. They were never told they're okay. So validation, very, very important. That's the first step, by the way. When we're talking to folks, we got to make sure they feel okay with themselves. And that's important, okay? That's validation for you. Now, by the way, I think we're going to talk about resources here. And we're going to bring on this most lovely person here, Dorothy Nichols Rashid. And she's going to talk about resources and announcements, I believe.
Yes.
So.
Yes. Thank you for listening, everyone. And for the Arizona listeners, please join us out at the book signing for Jerry and Donna McGovern's book, Take the E Out of Ego. It's at East West Exchange, 2151 West Warner Road, Suite 19. And that's today at 12 to 1:30. Look forward to seeing you out there.
Is there a number they can call for that?
No, I don't have a phone number here. You can call White Apple.
I'm not there still online.
Oh, Jerry, Donna, could you? Do you have a phone number in case someone?
I don't have it right now. Sorry, but it's real easy to locate. It's on the corner of Warner and McClintock, and so you can get there off of the 60 and go south to Warner, and it's right there No, it isn't. I'm sorry. I'm sending you the wrong place. It's on Dobson and Warner. I'm sorry. And
okay.
So you south on Dobson to Warner. It's right in that little shopping center on the southwest corner.
Okay.
Sorry.
Thank you so much.
You had me going to different places. I was going to where I saw you two last night.
All right.
Okay.
There's an honest answer.
Okay. Thank you so much. And I also want to thank Wendy Duncan again for supporting White Apple Institute. She's a farmer's insurance agent, and you can reach Wendy for your insurance needs at 480-620-6013. That's Wendy Duncan. We thank you so much, Wendy, if you're listening today. And also, if any of you are interested in starting your own business, you can contact White Apple Institute, and we'll guide you through the Small Business Administration help and help you get started. Our students come to us at all ages, so contact White Apple Institute, and we'll see how we can help you. Your membership helps provide resources for adult students. And White Apple Institute's phone number, again, is 480-659-8582. Thanks so much for listening.
Bye, all.
And, so therefore, thank you very much, everybody, for listening, having a wonderful show today. And so we'll end.
We thank you so much, Nazim Rashid, for helping out so much with co-hosting this afternoon. As we know, White Apple Institute is able to broadcast to you from all over the world. So I know that we have a few students listening in from Nigeria. We have students listening in from China. We have students listening in right here in our home state, which is our headquarters in Arizona. So we thank you all for supporting this broadcast. More than anything, supporting the mission of White Apple Institute. This broadcast is just a way of us getting the dialogue going, isn't it, Nazim and Jerry? Getting the dialogue going between teachers and students. It's one of the ways that we can develop a healthy attitude, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And next week we'll be talking about having a social contract, how to develop a social contract between students and teachers. So we're going to get real specific next week. So if you know of a teacher, please make sure you have that teacher log into our show at blogtalkradio.com//student-to-teacher-to-student internet radio show.
And Azim, are you going to play some of that great music for us again at the closing year?
All right, I believe so. It's taken from a new age recording I did while I was in the San Francisco Bay Area. And I believe it's going to be coming up here real shortly.
Music has a way. I noticed that a lot of students learn effectively when they listen to music, and some don't want any noise in the room, and that's part of, you know, and when we sit down and really think about what does it mean for me to have a healthy attitude towards school and work, we mean sitting down and jotting down some of the things that you feel are barriers or challenges to you. Now, we're going to help you to see that in a different light, and I know Donna Govan can give you a lot of ideas on that. She talks a lot about removing the challenges and barriers. Donna, isn't that right? Are you still there online?
She's stepped away for the moment, but she will be doing the next
thing. Absolutely. And she's one of the advisors on the advisory board for White Apple Institute. And we thank both of you so much, Jerry, for participating in the call this morning. And we want to wrap this up with just a few more things, and some form of inspiration that maybe one of us could come up with to close our show.
Well, we got hearing a call and response with last night. The instrument was absolutely...
301, off the top of my head. Nelson Mandela's speech. I can't ever forget that. And it talks about our greatest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our greatest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. We thank you for tuning in this week for Student Teacher, for students, and keep your mind open to the stories in life. Just look at this. Who is your friend? Be your own friend first. And then we can gather other friends around us that will help us promote a healthy attitude. This is Professor Applewhite signing off. Nazim Rashid?
Yes, absolutely. And also, keep on being in mind, when you wake up tomorrow morning, tell yourself, I'm glad to have the possibility, and promise of an abundant day. Thank you.